thank you for being here this morning and joining us on the beach. I'm glad you guys are here. We're going to spend a few moments in, we're going to talk about fellowship. We have been in a series called Dare to be a Disciple. And one of the things that we've been talking about is the nuanced difference between being a Christian, someone that says they believe, someone that says, you know, I know that Jesus came for me, I know that I'm a sinner, I'm repenting, and I want him to be the Lord of my life. And there's a little bit of a difference than saying that we're a disciple, someone that actually goes out. Craig Rochelle said that a Christian is someone that has a personal relationship with Jesus. In other words, I know that he is my Lord and Savior, and no one else can do that for me. So to say that I'm a Christian means that yes, Jesus is my Savior. But he also says to be a disciple is not a personal relationship. To be a disciple is a relational. It's a shared relationship. In other words, like James says, you've got to go out and do it. You've got to show it. Paul says it's the fruit that's born in our lives and the way that we share. So we're going to kind of dive in, and I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 42, and I'm going to read a little bit for you. And then I'm going to kind of break it down for you. Now, this is a familiar scripture, and I preached on it several times, but I'm going to come at it from a different point of view today. We're going to break down some of the key words. It says this, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Now, I could stop right there, and we could talk about the apostles' teaching, you know, teaching the gospel, teaching what Jesus taught them, going out and making sure that they know the truth. And then he says teaching and the fellowship, and we could talk about fellowship, which we are today, and then the breaking of bread, which we're going to share, and then we could talk about the prayers. But I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to break it down this way. "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as had any need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." I pray that the Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, guys, I'm going to break this down into some key thoughts. We know that in Matthew, the end thing that Jesus tells us to do, the Great Commission, he says, go and to make disciples, teaching them what I've taught you, baptizing them, and that he would be with us. And so loving God has to be the first thing that we do. And then loving others is just as important. And if you look at loving God and loving others, you see it's about relationships. It's about connections. It's about coming together. It's not about a bunch of rules that you have to follow. It's not a bunch of rules that hoops that you have to jump through. It is about relationships. It's about the relationship between you and God, and it's about the relationship that you have with others. And that's what Christ is calling us to do. So I've got some key thoughts that I want to break down in here. The first thing I want to talk about is being devoted. In the very first line it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to breaking bread and to the prayer." The word devoted there, fellowship, is koinonia. And koinonia means to participate in a common cause. So for us, what is that common cause? Well, at 3 Point, we spell it out for you. The first thing is love God. That's our common cause. Love others. That's our common cause. And then make disciples. That's the common cause, because that's what Jesus called us to. That's our rallying flag. That's the trumpet that we follow. And that's who we go out and try to share with people. It's the fellowship. It's participating in a common cause. When you break it down, how do we share fellowship? Or how do we share teaching? We share the teaching by worship, by Bible study, by small groups. I think of Dave and Steve and Leo and everybody that has a small group going on, Mary and Ken, and how in their small groups they are teaching the Word of God, and they are teaching the precepts that God wants us to know from His Word. And so we have prayer groups and small groups and Bible study. But then he says that there has to be fellowship. We have to be devoted to fellowship. Well, how do we devote ourselves to fellowship, especially in a time when we're not supposed to be around or near anybody? Well, we do that by visitation. We do that by visitation, either knocking on doors and standing 10 feet away and saying, hey, what can I bring to you? How can I help you? Is there anything I can do for you? We do that through communion. And as we share communion in a few moments, it's all of us sharing the common table together. It's about breaking bread in their homes. It's about sharing meal with one another. It's about intimacy, creating intimacy with one another, not just standoffish. One of the times I got in trouble in the church, I was trying to explain how Tony and I went somewhere and how relationships around us were real, while sometimes in the church, the relationships aren't real. And what I mean by that is sometimes people come into the church, let's say a typical morning. And I know this was a typical morning in my house growing up. David and I would be watching Hercules, and as soon as Hercules was over, the gospel hour would come on, and then we knew that it was almost time to go to church or whatever. And Mom and Dad would say, okay, let's go. And of course, me and David would put up a fight because we wanted to watch the Popeye cartoons that were going to come on next. But Mom and Dad would say, you're going. And my dad, he never really hit us, but he would pinch the stew out of us. And I mean, come on, you're going. And he would pinch us. Now, my mom, on the other hand, those gates to our lives to allow people in, but to really enjoy a shared intimacy and shared fellowship with one another, we have to be honest and transparent with one another. And when we're sharing the gospel with people that are far away from God, what is the one thing they say about the church? The church is filled with hypocrites. You say one thing and live another way. Well, the way we overcome that is by being who we say we are, letting our yes be yes and our no be no. So the first thing, we have to be devoted. But then he says this, if you scan down a little bit, he goes, verse 44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. What do you believe? We're going to believe and then connect. If we believe the same things, and we did a whole sermon series on the Apostles' Creed, these are things that are essential to our Christian faith. This is what I believe. This is who I am. I believe in God the Father Almighty. He's the maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead, and he ascended to heaven and sits there at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, and there he comes and judges the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy worldwide Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. These are crucial tenets of our faith. And if we believe that, and all of us believe that, then we connect with one another. I think in our families, we share hurts. In our church family, if someone is hurting and we send out a prayer request, it's amazing how many people connect and come together and pray for that person. Margie and I have kind of figured this out. Sometimes Margie and I will actually invent a mysterious illness in our house. And we'll call Sandra and Steve and say, oh man, Philip just lost a leg. And Sandra go, oh my. And Margie will say, yeah, the only thing that'll make them feel better is if you can make some of that chicken Acapulco and bring it over to the house, and I'm sure he'll get better. You know how the church family just rallies around one another? We want to bring you food. We want to pray with you. They're not trying to be nosy and spread gossip. We want to be there for you, and that's what the church is called to do. We connect not only in times of sorrow and hurts, but we also connect and rejoice in times of happiness. We share in weddings. We share in birthdays. We share in all of these things. If we want to survive spiritually and we want to survive relationally, we have to be open to one another. We need each other. We can't do this on our own. Again, Craig Rochelle that says that a Christian, becoming a Christian is someone that has a personal relationship to Jesus. I can't get you into heaven. Margie can't get you into heaven. Steve and Sandra can't get you into heaven. You know, Sandra, and they can't get you into heaven. You have to get into heaven on your own. And that's that personal relationship that we have with God. But it can't stop there. Craig Rochelle says we have to have this shared relationship. And that's where we are one with each other. And all of us together, we create just a wonderful ministry together. We have this shared relationship. You know, in Matthew, Jesus says this, where two or three are gathered, I'm there in the midst of them. And Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, says this, don't give up meeting as some want to do, but to continue to meet. And he says to pray for each other, and that's what we do in the church. So even though we haven't been able to be together in the same building, we're doing what we can. We're getting online. We're getting on the phone. We're FaceTiming. We're Zooming. There's even other stuff I don't even know out there. I was talking to Sandra's sister, Susan, and she's been dancing on TikTok, just doing crazy stuff. So it's like, this is, how are we going to connect? So we connect relationally. We believe and we connect. The next thing that he talks about is in, try not to let my Bible fall away, in verse 46, and day by day attending the temple together, they broke bread in their homes and they received the food with glad and generous hearts. In just a moment, we're going to break bread together. But the idea of sharing in what Christ did for us, he tells us to do this in remembrance of him, to continue to do this. Jesus gave his body. He gave it to his disciples and he said, this is for us. So if you have your cup and if you have your bread, if you would take it, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, this is my body, which is given to you. Take and eat and do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup and he says, this cup is my blood shed for you and for the remission of many sins. And he said, take and drink and do this in remembrance of me. Jesus reminds us in Scripture that he is the bread of life. And those who eat of the bread of life will not die. In other words, we have a shared communion with him when we share his body and his blood. His blood washes us white as snow, but the bread of God is the word of God. And Jesus was the word made flesh, and he gives us life. He gives us life. And the fourth thing, and this is how we respond, y'all. It goes like this. Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. They were praising God and they were worshiping with all the people. And it says God added to their numbers daily. Sandra and I have been incredibly amazed at what's been happening. We usually have between 75 and maybe 90 people in the church on a Sunday, on any given Sunday. But we had one day where over 900 people had tuned into our water cooler chat. 300 people are looking at our service. So we're seeing how God is actually multiplying even to 3 points numbers. People in other states, people around the world. Not that they're going to be coming into our building. We don't even care about that. But we're getting the gospel message out and we're creating family. We have family. So how do we respond? It says they praised and worshiped God. So how do we praise and worship God? Well, I wrote down some thoughts because there are a lot of those love one another's. How do we do that? Well, becoming a disciple of Jesus demands an extreme commitment. Jesus says to love one another as I have loved you, so must you love one another. By this men will know that you are my disciples. So we come into church and it's not the worship leader, it's not Joe, it's not the sermons that Paul or Sandra or Edwin will speak. It's all of us come together and we worship and we praise a God that is mighty, that's awesome, that's wonderful. So Jesus says, people will know that we're his disciples if we love one another. So how do we respond? Well, listen to this. The Bible says to love one another, be devoted to one another, honor one another, accept one another, serve one another, be compassionate to one another, submit to one another, encourage one another, spur one another on toward love and good deeds, live in harmony with one another, and offer hospitality to one another. And can you imagine what would happen if all of us were so devoted, if we really believed everything that Jesus taught, if we received every good and perfect gift from God with glad and generous hearts, and we praised and worshiped God with everything in us, with everything that's within us, what would our church look like? What would the church in Jonesboro look like? What would the church in Georgia look like? What would the church in the nation of the United States look like if everybody loved God, loved others, and were devoted to making disciples? Well, I want to leave you with that today. And next week, we're going to be looking at how a disciple serves. But today, it's important for us to fellowship with one another. So for some of you, that may be get on the phone and call somebody you haven't talked to in a while. It may be that you go and visit a family member or someone, or I don't know, take toilet paper to someone if you can find it. Just bless somebody today. Will you pray with me? Most gracious Heavenly Father, again, we just come into your presence. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. Father, we pray that you would make us disciples that are so devoted to you and to your word, that we would be devoted to one another, that we would pray for and with one another. Father, that your love and your light would just pour out of us. It would not be things that we do to try to win or garner fame for ourselves, Father, but to bring glory to you. Father, I pray that just as you took the towel and you became a servant, Father, I pray that we become nothing. We become less so that you become so much more. Father, I pray that there would be a revival, not just in the churches, but there would be revival in our nation, that there would be a revival in our families, that our hearts would begin to break and would soften, and your seed would be planted and great fruit would be born in our lives. Father, I pray that you would continue to speak through us today. And Father, I just pray that we would spend some time quiet in your presence, listening to what you would have us to do. And we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.